I'd like to read a few verses, please, from the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to read at verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now we trust that God will bless to us the reading of his precious word with what we have already listened to tonight. I would like for the few minutes at the close of the meeting to look at this question that is asked by the writer to the Hebrews here in chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I think it is very interesting if we spent a little time to look at verse 3 and 4, that we'll see that it's the Godhead that is involved in this great salvation. And it is the Godhead three who have an interest in every individual with relation to this matter of the great salvation. We see it was a word that was first spoken by the Lord. We see that God himself bore witness. And we see that the Holy Spirit had a great interest in the preaching of this message of this great salvation. You and I have great responsibilities on earth to take heed to our parents as children. We have great responsibilities at school to take heed to the school teacher. We have great responsibilities in the workplace to take heed to those who have the authority in that place of work. But dear soul, tonight we're turning to the Word of God, and we're going to listen to the authority of heaven, God himself that you're soon going to meet. And he has a special interest in you and in your attitude to this great salvation. Wouldn't it be an awful thing to sit in a gospel meeting and your mind to be hundreds of miles away, or maybe even into the distance tomorrow, and musing upon what you're going to be doing, and this great message of the gospel slip through your fingers, you'll leave the building, go out tonight, and go out into eternity, and never have given it a thought. And on that very deluge brink, to look back and remember, I just wish I'd taken heed. I just wish I'd listened for one wee moment to what those men were saying. I just wish I'd listened to God. So great salvation. I want to take a look in the book of the Hebrews tonight at five reasons as to why the writer would look upon this as a great salvation. First reason I can see in his writings is this. It is the person who has provided this salvation. Secondly, the price that has been paid for this salvation. Thirdly, the possibility of all having this salvation. Fourthly, the prospect and the promises that are linked with this great salvation. And finally, the punishment that's going to be the portion of those who just don't listen and who don't take heed to this great salvation. The writer to the Hebrews opens in language so beautiful as he brings before us the person who is this great salvation. We were reminding our hearts last night in the meeting how Simeon took a little babe up in his arms and he blessed the God of heaven and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And tonight at the outset of these few remarks, we want to remind boys and girls that salvation is Christ.
If you haven't got Christ, you haven't got salvation. And here we are reminded at the outset of this letter of the great person who is God's salvation. The writer opens and he says, God, who in sundry times and in divers manners has spoken unto the fathers by the prophets, have in these last days spoken unto us in Son. Oh, here is one who is greater than any prophet who has ever gone before. Mighty men have been raised up throughout the Scriptures. Men like Moses, men like David, men like Isaiah. But here's one, he's the great salvation of God, and he's far superior to any prophet who has gone before, and who has come out and spoken to God's people. Here is one who is God himself. He's God the Son, and he has come down to earth, and he has brought a message of salvation. What a wonder that is to our soul tonight. We're reading these early verses, he's the appointed heir of all things. What a tremendous word it was when he could say, the Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into his hand. And this one who is the great salvation of God, he's the one in whom all the blessings, the promises, the eternal future lie in. The lie in the appointed heir, the Son of God, one who was God. We see he has created the worlds. Oh, the salvation of God is just the creator of the universe. To think tonight there's someone in the meeting and you don't know, you wouldn't trust him. You wouldn't even come to him. The one who has created all things by the word of his power. Brought the worlds into existence by the word of his power. He's the creator. Then we see he's the brightness of his glory. The effulgence of the glory of heaven is this lovely man, worshipped and adored by all the hosts of flame throughout the days of eternity. All those created beings could flee before him at his commands. As he gazed upon the throne sitter, and he wondered Isaiah bowed low. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, this is God's salvation. He's the expression of his person. He's God manifest in flesh. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. He's just keeping you alive in the meeting tonight. Maybe you're not even taking heed. He's just upholding all things by the word of his power. Maybe we're to close his hand tonight and summon the meeting. Deeper down and higher inside him must the Christ rejecter go. He's upholding all things, upholding the universes in his hand, the little babe that lay in a mother's breast, upholding the worlds. What a wonder it is to man as they try to scan the heavens. The little babe in a mother's breast was upholding the universe of God. That's who he was. He's greater than any prophet. Well, see, he's greater than the angels. How many in the world today will tell us that he was an angel, you know? We go down these verses, we'll read. He was greater than any angel. Far exceeded them. Unto which of the angels hath he said at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth in his first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. The salvation of God is far superior to an angel. And many's a great deliverance they had wrought for the people of Israel. We turn to chapter 2. We'll see he's greater than any man who has ever gone before. God has ever ordained that man would have a dominion on this earth. He gave dominion to our first parent Adam in the Garden of Eden. He gave that man dominion over the creation. All those animals could come before him without fear, and they weren't in fear of one another. He named them one by one. He was a man of wisdom. He was a man of knowledge. He was a man whom God had given dominion. But Adam sinned, and Adam failed, and Adam was put out. The next great man I think we have in the Bible is Nebuchadnezzar. God gave him dominion. All the nations of the world feared and trembled because of him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, whom he would he put down, and whom he would he set up. God brought, he was brought down too because of sin. When I turn to this man who's God's salvation tonight, I want to tell you, he never failed. He was never brought down by sin.
He lived a life of holy perfection. He lived a life of beauty here upon earth. The tempter could hound him in the wilderness, hungry and weary and sore. They couldn't find a flaw in him. That blessed man never failed, and God has given him the keys of an everlasting kingdom, the words of the angel to Mary. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there's no end. He's going to have world dominion. But this salvation is great because of the price that he has paid. Mind you, there's some mothers sitting in the meeting tonight, and fathers too, and they've got children. And they love them. Many in the world have had children. They've had their loved ones snatched away and it has broken their heart. Many have went to an early grave as they followed a loved one to the cemetery. It has broken their heart. But here in the Word of God, we're going to see, dear soul, that the Father has sent this one to be the Savior of the world, and he has given him to the death of the cross to pay a great price. Willingly, he has given him to die. We turn over the page in the Hebrews and we'll read something of the price that he paid. We read there in chapter 5, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up his prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, with strong crying and tears, where's this taking us to? It's taking us to Gethsemane's garden. It's taking us to those awful scenes when the Lord Jesus, leaving that upper room, having instituted the Last Supper, the last Passover, he moves out into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's viewing Calvary. He's viewing the price of this great salvation. And he's bowing, and his strong crying and tears ascending from that garden. His sweat has become, as it were, great drops of blood. Why? The price is great, dear soul. To think tonight he left heaven, the worthless center of worship and adoration of created beings, to weep in a garden as he looked into an awful cup that cost him something. It was full to the brim, full of the judgment of our sin. That lovely man, he's weeping in the garden, sweat as it became, as it were, great drops of blood, falling down to the ground. He's in agony. He's in agony. He moves out to Calvary, and underneath the wrath of God, we read in chapter 1, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. The purging of our sins cost him his life. The purging of our sins cost precious blood. We could turn back to the book of the Psalms in 22 and 69 and enter into a little of the awful sufferings of Golgotha when that lovely man was made sin for us. When he sank in deep mire wherein there was no standing. When all the waves and billows of God fell upon him. When all his bones were out of joint, when his tongue cleaved to his jaws and his heart melted in the midst of his bowels, the awful sufferings of the Savior, he hung in darkness on Golgotha, a lonely man forsaken by all. He endures the storm, and when he had by himself purged our sins, and dear soul, remember that as the sin question has been taken care of, he has entered into the great sin question. Such is the great salvation. And not only in that verse is it the sins of the people, but it's the sin of the whole creation. And he has purged it, and the day is lying out future when he's going to hand this world back to his Father God in perfection. Such is the value of the price of the man of Calvary. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He died. What a day that was. We think of a mother's last look at him. We think of her first look. She held in her arms the little babe. He's God, manifest in flesh. Think of her last look at him at the foot of the cross. Nail-pierced hands and nail-pierced feet. A crown of thorns, a crowd, an angry mob around the cross. She takes a look at the Son of God as he enters into the awful sin question. A Price has been paid. Precious blood has been shed. The strong crying and tears and the cries from Golgotha. The lowly man. This is a great salvation because of the possibility that all might have it. Well, tonight, dear soul, what can sweeter be to the heart of an individual? Will not belong here. We're soon moving out to the great eternity. Isn't it great of God to provide us salvation? And there's a possibility that each one in this meeting tonight may have it. We read there again in chapter 5. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Oh, what a message.
Can we sound it out tonight as never before? Who knows who'll be in eternity before tomorrow's sun does rise? Let us sound it out, there's salvation for all.
For those that obey him. Oh, was there one in the meeting you couldn't obey him? God, manifest in flesh, the creator of the universe, the upholder of all things by the word of his power, the one who has answered to the great sin question. You couldn't obey him. Come unto me, he could say, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. Hebrews 7:25. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God through him. What a great salvation. That possibility could be yours tonight. I long it was yours. I long that salvation were your blessed portion.
Come unto me, says he. Says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
And he's calling the sinner tonight to come and to trust him for salvation. Then we see this salvation is great for the prospects and the promises that are associated with it. Mind you tonight, if you sit down just to think of the promises of the old devil, the old serpent. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a liar from the beginning. Thou shalt not surely die. Have you thought of the prospects that you have in your sin tonight? I wonder what they are. What are they tonight?
Just stop and think, what are the prospects for you and your sin? Oh, you might get on well in this old world. Have a lovely home, maybe a nice business, maybe plenty of money and plenty of sport and plenty of everything.
Is that it? When a few years are come, I shall pass the way of all the earth, from whence I shall not return. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than endure enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This is someone, what are the prospects or what are the promises that are found in the Hebrews? Hebrews 10:17, their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more.
Oh, to think tonight, dear boy and girl and man and woman in this meeting, all those sins of years that you can't even imagine what they are, foolish thoughts, sinful thoughts, actions, disobedience, lightheartedness, all the things that mark a fallen creature.
He says, I will remember them no more forever. Wouldn't it be great now if this were just to be the day when you're going out to eternity and you just put your head in the pillow and say, it's all taken away. It's all taken care of. The great salvation of God is such that my sins will never be remembered no more. And in the sea of God's forgiveness. Then he says, ah, more. He tells us in Hebrews 13:5, he says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Mind you, there's not a more solemn time on earth when you're coming to slipping out. Loved ones may gather round and hold on and weep.
But when you're going out alone, wouldn't it be great to have someone there to stay with you? We've been reminded of a Stephen tonight. He looked up and he saw the Lord. A Lord to welcome him home.
What a promise in this great salvation. He says, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. And I'll bring thee safe home to the glory. And there's promises. It's a reminder of a God who cannot lie. We could look at chapter 6. We would see there's a great hope there for us. And we'll see that the Savior has already entered into it. Where is it? It's heaven. That's where he's gone. He's gone into heaven.
And he's there. And he has a great promise for us. It's a great prospect for us. He says, I'm coming again.
And we remind our hearts again of Hebrews 10. Yet a little while. And he that shall come will come. And he will not tarry. Hebrews 9 will remind us of this. He's going to appear a second time. Without sin unto salvation. Unto all them that look for him. What a promise. What a promise. I'm waiting for thee, Lord, thy beauty to see, Lord. I'm waiting for thee, for thy coming again. The promises and the prospects is a great salvation.
Then we want to see, finally, in chapter 10 of the Hebrews, the writer will remind us that this great salvation is so great because of the punishment.
It's going to be the portion of those who just neglect. Give me just a little longer, for the world seems now so bright. When I think that I am dying, I'm the same. Not tonight. We turn here to Hebrews chapter 10, and we read about those who haven't received the knowledge of the truth. You know, they've sat and they've listened to the gospel, and they've it all in here. Oh, they've it all in here. They could tell you how to get saved, you know. Never have taken it for themselves. They have a knowledge of it in their head. But they don't want it for themselves. And they've willfully go out the door another night and go home. Willfully. Willfully. This will be brought before us in Hebrews 10 and 26. Sinning willfully. Neglecting. What does it say there? There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. There's no more hope. There's no other way. There's no other chance. But it says a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Dear boy and girl and man and woman tonight, miss this great salvation and your portion will be the fire. God has thought so much to part with his darling. God has thought so much of you to punish him in dark Calvary in order that you might be saved. You neglect such love and neglect such a great salvation. God says, it's the fire. That is a fearful thing, he says, to fall into the hands of the living God. Wonder tonight, are you just going to go on? You're easy. Come and easy go. Who knows? I hope it never happened. Slip out and slip over. A fearful thing. Are you the serious death? What will you say? There's not one of you will ever say, you know, there was no salvation for me. It's for all. It's upon all them that believe. Trust tonight you'll think of this great salvation. God has thought worthwhile to provide for the nations of the world. He longs that every boy and girl might have it. And swell the song of the Lamb and the glory when our little journey on earth is done. We'll pray. Our Father, we bow now at the close of our meeting, bow to give thanks to thee for another privilege of standing upon this platform and doing our best to proclaim the gospel of thy grace. We bow to thank thee for thy love to poor sinners in all our need and all our sinfulness. We bow to thank thee, Father, for ever giving thy Son to the death of the cross and that great work he completed. And we bless thee for the man in the glory. And we thank thee, Father, for that blessed hope that someday soon we'll be with him and like him forever. But long that everyone in the meeting tonight will consider this great salvation. What a price has been paid and what a future could be the portion of those who would receive him. Heaven in all his glory. The streets of gold, unsullied light, the song of heaven forever. Father, what a place to go to neglect so great salvation.
out of the fire and the judgment of God. Father, we'll take a moment to pray for the neighborhood again. We bless thee for the good number who come in last night. And look to thee, our God, to move again in the neighborhood, we pray. And to visit us with salvation. And to bless the homes of thy people tonight. We thank thee for the boys and girls who have come out. We must long to see them saved. The coming of the Lord is at the very door. We long to see them gathered in. Take us to our homes in safety, we pray. As we give our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Now we sing a verse or two of number 70.
Still on the side of trust not thy heart, grieve not the spirit lest he depart. Why wilt thou longer wait, come ere it be too late? Jesus at mercy's gate, grace will impart.
Now we sing verses 2 and 3 of hymn number 70. And again, thank you very much for coming tonight.